This article is brought to you by the best-selling booksy Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to talk to a colleague who's clearly struggling mentally or emotionally. A practical guide to starting the conversation that could change everything. In short, reaching out to a colleague in emotional distress is one of the most important difficult conversations you will ever have at work. Most people walk past because they fear saying the wrong thing. The steps below give you the language, the timing, and the nerve to walk toward that person instead. You do not need to fix anything. You need to open a door. Preparation prevents a conversation from falling apart where it matters most. What you say second matters more than what you say first. Definition: struggling colleague conversations are difficult conversations initiated at work when a colleague shows signs of mental or emotional distress. They require the courage to name what you're observing, the skill to listen without fixing, and the wisdom to know where your role ends and professional support begins. A colleague of mine, a project manager named Paul, sat three desks away from a woman who stopped eating lunch with a team, stopped making eye contact, and started leaving early every day for 6 weeks. Nobody said a word. They were busy. They did not want to intrude. They told themselves she was probably just tired. She resigned without warning on a Monday morning. Paul told me later, "I knew something was wrong. I just did not know what to say, so I said nothing." That silence has a cost. Not just for the person struggling, but for the whole team that watches and does nothing. Struggling colleague conversations are among the hardest difficult conversations we face at work, not because the subject is complicated, but because we are afraid of getting it wrong. This guide will not remove that fear entirely. Nothing will. But it will give you a clear process, specific language, and the practical courage to try. Why these conversations feel so impossible to start. The hesitation is real, and I want you to understand it before we move past it. When you see a colleague struggling, you are managing several fears at once. You fear trespassing on something private. You fear that asking will make things worse. You fear that they will break down and you will not know how to handle it. These are not irrational fears. They come from a genuine place of care and uncertainty. Here is the truth of it. Most people are not afraid of the conversation itself. They are afraid of what might come out of it. And that fear, left unaddressed, produces the worst possible outcome: silence. When another human being needed to know someone had noticed them. The good news is that you do not need to be a therapist. You do not need perfect words. You need a clear process and the willingness to follow it. What needs to be true before you say a word? Before you initiate this kind of difficult conversation, two things must be in place. First, you need to have observed something real. A single bad day is not a signal. What you are looking for is a pattern: withdrawal from team interactions, visible changes in energy or focus, a characteristic irritability or flatness, or physical signs of exhaustion over several days or more. If you can name two or three specific things you have observed, you're ready. If you're going on a vague feeling, wait another day or two and look more carefully. Second, you need a private moment. This conversation cannot happen in a corridor, during a meeting, or in front of others. It needs a door that can close, or a space where no one else is nearby. If you work remotely, it needs a one-on-one call, not a message thread. The setting tells your colleague whether they're safe to speak before you say anything at all. The six steps for starting and holding this conversation. Step 1. Choose the moment with intention. Do not wait for a perfect moment, because it will not arrive. Choose a quiet period in the working day, when neither of you is rushing toward a meeting or deadline. Approach them casually. Do not schedule it formally with a calendar invite that will terrify them for 2 days beforehand. Walk over or send a brief message. "Do you have 10 minutes? I just want to catch up." Keep it low key. The weight of the conversation comes from what happens inside the room, not from how you announced it. Step 2. Open with what you have observed, not what you assume. The single biggest mistake people make is opening with a diagnosis. "Are you depressed? Or you've seen really burned out projects?" A conclusion before you have heard anything. It can feel like an accusation. Instead, name what you have seen. "Say, I've noticed you've seemed a bit flat the last couple of weeks, and I wanted to check in." Or, "You haven't seemed yourself lately, and I care about you, so I'm asking, how are you actually doing?" You are reporting an observation, not a verdict. That distinction keeps the door open. The phrase "how are you actually doing" does important work. The word "actually" signals that you want the real answer, not the reflexive "fine." Step 3. Resist the urge to fill the silence. After you ask, stop talking. This is harder than it sounds. When people are struggling, they need a moment to decide whether they trust you enough to speak. If you rush to fill the silence with reassurances or more questions, you take that moment away from them. Sit with it. Hold the space. Count to 10 silently if you need to. If they do not respond right away, try one gentle prompt. You don't have to have it all figured out. I'm just here. Then go quiet again. The silence is not failure. It is the conversation working. Step 4. Listen to understand, not to respond. When they begin to speak, your only job is to receive what they are saying without steering it toward a solution. Most of us are poor listeners in this moment, because we are already problem-solving in our heads. Do not offer advice in the first 10 minutes. Do not say you should talk to HR before they have finished telling you how they feel. Instead, reflect back what you are hearing. That sounds exhausting. Or, I can hear how much weight you're carrying right now. These phrases do not trivialize or fix. They confirm that you are present and paying attention. If you want a framework for how to hold difficult conversations well, the DEAL method for resolving disagreements offers a clear structure that applies here to gather information before drawing conclusions, and never let your assumptions lead the conversation. Step 5. Ask what they need and follow their lead. After they have spoken, resist the instinct to prescribe next steps. Ask instead, what would be most useful for you right now? Or is there anything I can do? Even something small. Some people will ask for practical support. Some will ask you to keep the conversation private. Some will say they do not know what they need yet, and that answer deserves the same respect as any other. Your job is not to solve the problem. Your job is to make them feel less alone in it. If they raise something that seems beyond the scope of what a colleague can handle, name it honestly. I want to support you, and I also want to make sure you have the right support. Would it be okay if I mentioned this to our HR team, or encouraged you to reach out to them? Never go over someone's head without telling them. Trust once broken is very hard to rebuild. Step 6. Close the conversation with a concrete follow-through. Many of these conversations end well and then dissolve into nothing because the colleague never hears from the person again. Do not let that happen. Before you leave, say something specific. I'm going to check in with you again on Thursday. Just a quick coffee. No pressure. Then do it. The follow-through is not a formality. It is the proof that what you said in that room was real. For more on starting these kinds of conversations before a situation reaches crisis point, this guide on how to start a difficult conversation that's blocking your team's synergy offers a grounding framework worth reading alongside this one. When your colleague is working remotely. Remote struggling colleague conversations carry an added layer of difficulty because the nonverbal cues that prompt concern in person, the slumped posture, the red eyes, the forced smile, are harder to read through a screen. Start by naming what you've noticed in words, because you cannot rely on body language to do the work for you. On a video call, say, "You seemed quieter than usual in our last few calls, and I wanted to check in properly." Then, as a deliberate act of care, suggest turning cameras off. It removes the performance pressure and often makes people more willing to speak honestly. After the call, send a short follow-up message. Keep it simple. "I'm glad we spoke. I'm here whenever you need." A written message gives your colleague something tangible to return to in a harder moment. It also signals that the conversation was not a one-time gesture, but an ongoing offer of connection. For handling tension that emerges in team meetings, including the kind of irritability that can signal underlying distress, the same principle applies. Name what you see, ask before you assume, and follow through. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. The mistakes that make these conversations go wrong. Even well-intentioned people get this wrong. I've made most of these mistakes myself, and each one taught me something I carry still. The mistake: waiting until you have the perfect script before speaking. Why it happens: fear of saying the wrong thing paralyzes action. What to do instead: accept that you will be imperfect and speak anyway. A stumbling, genuine attempt is worth more than polished silence. The mistake: making the conversation about your own discomfort. Why it happens: People say things like, I don't want to pry, or I hope you don't mind me asking, which centers their anxiety rather than the colleague's need. What to do instead? Acknowledge your own hesitation privately, then put it aside. The conversation is for them, not for you. The mistake: solving before listening. Why it happens. Problem solving feels like support, and most professionals default to it under pressure. What to do instead? Hold your advice until you have heard everything. Ask permission before offering it. Would it be helpful if I suggested something? The mistake: treating one conversation as enough. Why it happens. The initial conversation feels like the hard part, so people relax once it is done. What to do instead? The first conversation opens the door. The follow-through keeps it open. Check in again, and keep checking in. Understanding how unmet needs drive workplace distress can help you recognize what is underneath what your colleague says, so you're not responding only to the surface. Before you walk over, a preparation checklist. Use this before initiating a struggling colleague conversation. It takes 2 minutes, and it makes a real difference. Number 1. Can I name 2 or 3 specific things I have observed that concern me? If not, wait and observe more carefully. Number 2. Have I chosen a private setting where we will not be interrupted or overheard? Number 3. Do I have a genuine opening line that names what I have observed without projecting a conclusion? Number 4. Am I prepared to sit with silence without filling it? Number 5. Do I know what I will say if they disclose something serious, such as a risk to their safety? Number 6. Have I decided on a specific follow-up action I can commit to today? If you can answer yes to all 6, you are ready. You do not need confidence. You need preparation. Confidence grows from having done it once. For teams where tension between colleagues has already surfaced, word-for-word scripts for de-escalating tension offer language you can adapt for the moment just before a difficult conversation becomes unavoidable. When the person you are concerned about works in a high-conflict team. In teams where there is already tension, checking in on a struggling colleague carries a political dimension that a straightforward check-in does not. Other team members may interpret your concern as favoritism. The struggling colleague may worry that speaking honestly will be used against them. The weight of existing team conflict can make emotional disclosure feel genuinely unsafe. In these situations, keep your conversation strictly private and explicitly say so. Whatever you tell me stays between us, unless you ask me to help you take it further. Name the conflict in the room without making it the focus. I know things have been difficult on the team lately. That's not what I'm asking about. I'm asking about you. For teams where conflict is fracturing relationships more broadly, the DEAL method for diffusing tension between colleagues offers a structured way to address the wider friction without losing sight of individual human needs. Where formal team conflict has become entrenched, the DEAL method for resolving conflicts that are fracturing team synergy can help you address the broader environment that may be making your colleague's situation worse. Frequently asked questions. What are struggling colleague conversations? Struggling colleague conversations are difficult conversations you initiate at work when a colleague shows signs of mental or emotional distress. They require care, directness, and preparation. The goal is to open a door, not diagnose or fix the problem yourself. How do you start a conversation with a colleague who is struggling mentally? Start by finding a private moment and using a simple, non-alarming opener. I've noticed you seem a bit flat lately, and I wanted to check in. Keep your tone calm and your question open. Your job in that first moment is to make it safe for them to speak. What should you avoid saying to a struggling colleague? Avoid minimizing phrases like "I'm sure you will be fine" or "everyone goes through this." Do not pressure them to explain themselves or share more than they are ready to. Offering unsolicited advice early in the conversation tends to close people down rather than open them up. What if a colleague refuses to talk about how they are feeling? Respect the refusal without withdrawing your care. Say something like, "That is completely fine. I just wanted you to know I am here if that changes." Then follow through. A colleague who declines once may come back later if they felt no pressure the first time. How do you handle a struggling colleague conversation when working remotely? On a video call, name what you are observing directly. "You seem quieter than usual, and I wanted to check in." Disable your own camera briefly so they are not performing for an audience. Follow up with a private message after the call so they have a written record that you care. When should you involve HR or a manager in a struggling colleague situation? Involve HR or a manager when someone discloses a risk to their safety, when their distress is visibly affecting their ability to function, or when they ask for formal support. You are not responsible for fixing the problem, but you are responsible for escalating genuine risk through the right channels. The hardest part of struggling colleague conversations is not finding the right words. It is deciding to speak at all. Most people who look back on these moments wish they had started sooner, not that they had waited until they felt more prepared. You will not say it perfectly. Say it anyway. The person sitting three desks away, or one screen away, needs to know that someone noticed, and that noticing made you walk toward them instead of past. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.